and every one of you. I trust you realize that. And if this is the first time that you have ever heard that in your life, you might be going, say what? God wants to speak to me? And you might be thinking, oh no, God doesn't want to speak to me. I mean, if he speaks to me, I'm toast. I'll just be vaporized if his voice speaks to me. Listen, I want us to know something. I want us to hear something, that God is your father. He's your father. And he wants to speak to you in a way that you will hear, and a way that you will respond to his loving, merciful call. Today I want to carry on our series. And if you were not here for that first session, then I encourage you to go to our website, and you can either listen to it or go to our YouTube page, and you can watch and listen to that first message. But I want to begin with a question, and that is simply this: why you need to hear God's voice? That's our question for today. Not just that God will speak to you, but why on earth would he want to speak to you and to me? I know why he would want to speak to Sue. I mean, she's Sue. I know why she'd want to speak to Catherine. I mean, she's Catherine. But why would he want to speak to me? Well, have you ever heard the story of the husband who was concerned about his wife's hearing? A man was concerned about his wife's hearing, so he consulted his doctor. "It's getting really bad," he told the doctor. "Well, how bad?" asked the doctor. "Well, I don't really know," said the husband. "Well, help me find out." And the doctor suggested this: when you get home, call to her from the front door. Then go nearer to the room where she is, call her from the outside room, and finally go up to her and speak up to her real close and see what happens. That way, we will both know how bad her hearing is. Well, when the man got home, he stood at the front door and he called out, "Darling, what's for dinner?" Nothing. Nada. Silence. He went in a little closer to the kitchen in the living room and said again, "Darling, what's for dinner?" Still nothing. And so finally he walks into the kitchen and he whispers and he speaks into her ears, "Darling, what's for dinner?" And the wife looked at him with consternation and said, "For the third time, meatloaf." What was true of this husband is sadly all too true in our relationship with Father God. We know he speaks, but do we take time to discern what he's saying and how he's saying it? Why don't we hear God's voice? I mean, if he does speak, if he is alive, if he is speaking, then why don't we hear him? Can I suggest to you four quick reasons possibly why we're not hearing his voice? One is pride. If you think you don't need God in your life, then, and you want to handle things your way, you're probably not going to hear his voice very clearly. You see, it's pride that keeps you and I from being open to the possibility of what he wants to say to us. Then there's fear, as OT mentioned during worship. And a lot of people can't hear God simply because they're afraid to hear God speak. Either they're afraid of the fact that if he speaks, they're going to be vaporized, or they're afraid that God is going to have them do or go somewhere that will be uncomfortable. They are afraid of God's voice. And as I was praying over this message, this word kept coming back to me over and over and over again. Another reason why people do not hear God's voice is due to bitterness. Offenses that have happened in the past, hurts, resentment, grudges, and as we hold them and allow them to pile up, it becomes ever more difficult to hear God because our hearts become hardened. Fourthly, a reason why many people do not hear God is simply because they're too busy. We do not hear God's voice because we do not take the time to listen. As I shared with you last time, if we're going to prepare our hearts, it begins by setting time away and waiting on God in His presence. I trust you've been able to find that place and that time, whether it's early in the morning or in the evening, but you're finding that place where it'll be unencumbered, where it will be quiet for you to rest and hear God's voice speaking to you. We all need to hear this. God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me. He wants to speak to our church. God is alive and He's wanting to speak. Jesus made it very clear in his illustration of the sheep and the shepherd. He says in verse 27 of John 10, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." According to Jesus, in the passage that Sue just read, we are His sheep. We are the flock of His pasture. John chapter 10 expands on this wonderful theme. And as His sheep, we should be able to listen to His voice and follow Him because we clearly recognize His voice. Jesus is able to lead us precisely because we hear His voice and follow after Him. Verses 3 and 4, let me reread it. The gatekeeper opens the gate for Jesus, and the sheep listen to His voice. He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. When He has brought out all His own, He goes on ahead of them, and His sheep follow Him because they know His voice. Listen, I know sheep have often gotten a bad rap. You've probably heard that sheep are among the dumbest of all God's creation. I would bear to argue deer are among the dumbest. And for those of you who are hunters, you would probably agree with me. But sheep are not as dumb as we have been led to believe and to understand. Sheep are very aware of their shepherd's voice and respond accordingly. And if you are a follower of Jesus today, if you're His son and daughter today, by faith in His grace, in His blood, and in His resurrection, if you know Christ today, you can be assured that the Father speaks, and you can and will recognize His voice. Problem is, sometimes He speaks in ways that can seem confusing. And sometimes we scratch our heads and wonder, God, what on earth are you telling me? What are you saying? What are you trying to say to me? Well, Isaiah 55, 8 to 11 reminds us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Listen, let me say it again. God wants to speak to you. He will speak to you. But the question we are asking today is, why would He speak to us? Why is it necessary to take the time to hear God's voice? Well, just as sheep listen to the shepherd's voice, we need to hear God so that we can be directed by Him, be devoted to Him, and be dependent on Him. So let's quickly unpack these three points together. First of all, we need to hear God so we can be directed by Him. We need to be able to discern God's voice so we can follow His leading where he wants us to go. Why is His direction so important? Well, that may seem a rhetorical question, But how often have I counseled people who have come to me and their lives are a mess, saying to me, I thought I heard God, but then they went in an opposite direction. They didn't take time to discern what they believed was God's word when it was probably either the bad pizza they had the night before or they were just under deception. We need to discern God's voice so we can be properly directed. You see, the Bible reminds us over and over that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so Peter reminds us, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We are in a spiritual battle. Some of us are walking this battle with a limp. Some of us are going headstrong into that battle. Make no mistake, we are in this battle together. And together we struggle not against flesh and blood, for we know the enemy's schemes, and so we move forward together as conquerors in his name. But listen to me. Listen to your pastor today. You can go into battle with all of the armor available to you. You can go with your helmet, with the helmet of salvation, your feet shod with the sandals of salvation, with the shield of faith, with the sword of the Spirit. You can have it all and still fail because you don't take time to communicate with our commander-in-chief. You see, the most important thing in any battle is that the soldiers are able to communicate with the ones who are strategically leading and coordinating the battle plan. Reminds me of the story, and you've probably heard it, but I'm going to tell it anyway. You might remember the story of a battleship that was plowing at night through the rough, foggy seas. And the battleship's radar suddenly indicated an object directly in its path. The ship's captain sends a radio signal. We're on a collision course. Advise you to change course 10 degrees. The response over the radio goes, negative. We advise you to change course 10 degrees south. The captain can now see a blinking light from the approaching object. Perturbed, he bellows a reply. I am the captain of a United States battleship. Change course 10 degrees now. I'm a seaman, second class, comes the reply. Advise you change course 10 degrees to avoid imminent collision. Well, the captain's furious. He blurts another command. I command you, change your course now. Back came a very calm reply. I am a lighthouse. Your call. Communication is essential for victory in spiritual warfare. And we see this often in Israel's history. It was only when the people of God listened to his direction that they saw victory. King David, the most successful king that Israel ever knew, and a man after God's own heart, learned this lesson early in his life that prepared him to be the leader of Israel. And one day, their mortal enemies, the Philistines, were once again encroaching upon the nation. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 19, David inquires of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? And the Lord answered him, go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you. Now let me just stop here just for a moment. We read that and we go, yay, David, you go get them, man. And maybe we've been in a similar place as David, where we've inquired of the Lord, we're facing a battle, and the Lord says, go forward. And so we go. and we fall flat on our face and we wonder, Lord, what happened? Why did I fall? I thought I was obeying you. I thought I was following you. I believe one of the reasons quite often is this, that while God will speak to us and give us directions in one circumstance, he will not always give the same directions twice. David could have simply tried to repeat what had worked for him in the past. He could have gone out there with a sling of stones and just started throwing stones at the enemy, and he would have fallen flat. But he didn't. In every battle David faced, he took the time to seek God's specific direction in those instances. Just a few verses later, we read in verses 23 and 24, "So David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, 'Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you come near the sound, as soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army.'" And how often life is like that for us. We face a situation, God tells us to deal with it in a particular way, and later we face another similar situation, and we're tempted to do what we had always learned to do. And we fail, because we haven't taken the time to just wait and listen and hear God. We see this kind of God's, this dependence in the New Testament. One of my favorite passages in Acts is in chapter 16. And here Paul and his companions, they've been traveling through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. And they've been preaching the gospel, seeing tons of people coming to faith in Jesus. And they're wanting God's direction. Okay, Lord, where do we go now? What's next? And so we read that Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia, went down to Troas. Now you may ask, well, what was wrong in going to Asia? Why would the Holy Spirit forbid Paul and his ministry team from going into Asia? Wasn't Asia important? I mean, in Asia, that would mean India. It would mean modern-day Iraq. It would mean going as far east, even as China. Why wouldn't God allow him to go? Oh, of course, God loved Asia. Of course, he saw needs in Asia. But listen to the next verse. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Something I have had to learn the hard way is that when I am praying for an open door of ministry, and I may be so confident it's the direction I should go, it makes perfect sense, and God closes the door, I've had to learn the hard way that part of faith is saying, God, you know better. I'm not going to try to push open what you have closed for the moment. I remember several years ago, Sue and I were pastoring in Kingston, and we were praying for God's direction in our lives. And I had received a phone call from a church board in Trenton, Ontario. I knew this church. I had preached in this church. I loved this church. It was a wonderful church. Beautiful people, a great community. And when they called me, I thought, yes, this is the opportunity that God has given me, the open door, I'm going. And I'll never forget going for the interview. And everything went so well. This church owned a very large parcel of land that they had hoped to build a brand new facility on. And I'll never forget sitting on the stoops of their old building, and for one of the very few times in my life, I felt God giving me a vision, an image. And in that image, I saw a building, and I saw it filled with people. I thought for sure this was God saying, this was the way, even though I had already said to the Lord, I'm not a building pastor, Lord, I'm a people pastor. Nevertheless, I said, God, if this is your door, I'm ready to go through it. And Sue will remember how disappointed I was when they called me to say, Ralph, we've chosen somebody else. And I thought, Lord, why? Why? Why would you do this? I didn't understand. I didn't understand until 2 years later, my mother announced that she was going to be remarried to a gentleman who attended the Trenton Church. She wanted me to perform the wedding, and I very gladly accepted. It was going to take place in the Trenton Church. And I remember going down to Trenton. It was a few days before the wedding, and I had met the pastor for the first time, a wonderful man of God. And he said, Ralph, I'd like to show you something. I said, sure. And so we opened up these blueprints of a church building, and my mouth fell to the floor. It was the exact same image of a building that God had put in my heart 2 years previous. You see, it was God's plan for that church to build a building, which they did. It was God's plan to see that building filled, which right now it is. It was God's plan. The problem was, I could have pushed that door. I could have pushed it open. But I never would have had the blessing that God poured upon us, that when I left it with God, God opened the door to go to the Ottawa area, the opposite ends of the Highway 401. And God allowed us to experience such a blessed, blessed time there. And sometimes we just have to leave the door to God. Let Him open the doors that He will open. Let Him close the doors, and when He closes them, don't push them open. But trust God, He's going to lead you as He led Paul, as He led his ministry team to go into Europe. And I'm so glad He did. You know why? Because He got into Europe, that meant by virtue of His obedience, we now are recipients of that gospel message. And we're all here able to praise God for that. We need to hear God to be directed by Him, and we need to hear God because it shows our devotion to Him. The single greatest problem many fathers have? Is that they feel distant and disconnected from their kids. They don't talk to them. They don't pray with them. They don't have conversations. I want us to understand something this morning. God is a good father. He's not a distant celestial despot. He wants to speak to you. He is not silent. If you will take the time to listen, He is speaking to you each and every day, and He's speaking to you right now. And when we take time to listen to Him, we hear some marvelous things. We hear Him assuring us. Those times when we feel insecure, those times when we wonder when we're even saved, the Father assures us, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are His children. There are times that we experience great difficulty and we're wondering, God, what am I going to do now? And he speaks words of comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trouble so that we can comfort up those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Then there will be times when we don't know where to go, what to do, what choices should I make? And we're faced with a plethora of choice. And Father comes with words of counsel. David testified, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Then there are times when I'm facing danger, an unknown situation, a marriage breakup, a problem at work, difficulty with my kids, a health issue. God speaks to protect us. There may be an unseen danger approaching that you are not aware of. And there are times that God will speak words of warning to redirect us and protect us, just as he did for Joseph and Mary. When the edict came down that all boys in Bethlehem would be slaughtered, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Know this, Father God is speaking. And when he speaks for your protection. He speaks to give you counsel. He speaks to comfort you. He is speaking to you today. And the reason he's speaking is so that you will learn to be dependent on him. John 15:4-5, Jesus reminds his disciples, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Growing up, the emphasis of this verse to me had always been, if a vine does not bear fruit, he cuts it off. That had always been my emphasis. And you know what that did for my relationship with God, George? I had a very negative relationship with Father God because it became a relationship of fear and insecurity. But here Jesus is putting the emphasis on this word, remain in me, and I will remain in you. The word remain or abide, it's a word that says to keep on remaining, keep on abiding. It's the same kind of verb that Paul uses in Ephesians chapter 5 when he says, be filled with the Spirit. It's not just a one-time act, but it's an ongoing every day, every moment of every day of remaining, abiding in a living relationship with him. It's being connected. And that connection is only possible as we maintain communication with him. I'm going to continue part of this, the rest of this message next time. But I want us to hear this morning, God wants to speak. He wants to speak so he can steer us in his direction. He wants to speak so that we can experience his sanctification. And he wants to speak so he can sustain us and hold us in his loving arms. In his book, Directions, author James Hamilton shares this insight about listening to God. Before refrigerators, people used ice boxes to preserve their food. Ice boxes had thick walls, no windows, and a tightly fitted door. In winter, when streams and lakes were frozen, large blocks of ice were cut, hauled to the ice houses, and covered with sawdust. Often the ice would last well into the summer. One man lost a valuable watch while working in the ice house. He searched diligently for, carefully raking through the sawdust, but didn't find it. His fellow workers also looked, but their efforts too proved futile. Then a small boy who heard about the fruitless search slipped into the ice house during the noon hour and soon emerged with the watch. Amazed, the men asked him how he found it. "I closed the door," the boy replied. "I lay down in the sawdust and kept very still, and soon I heard the watch ticking." The question is not whether God is speaking, but whether we are still enough and quiet enough to hear his voice. Jesus assures us that our Heavenly Father is always speaking, but are we listening? Do we follow the instructions of Psalm 46:10? Be still and know that I am God. Worship team, would you come back to the platform, please? And we're going to just take some time and being quiet before God. Maybe you're here for the first, second, or third time and you're still scratching your head wondering what's all this about. You know what? God's been speaking to you too. You might say, "Well, I don't even think I know the Lord." God's been speaking to you. By the very fact you're here, you've been hearing him because he's been drawing you to himself. And he wants you to know that you don't have to do life alone. That you've been doing it alone and it's been hurting and it's been horrid. But Father wants you to know he loves you. He sent his son to die for you. His son rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and today he is praying for you. He's praying for you, number one, that you would come and you'll respond to the Father's call right now and receive him into your heart. You may have been going your own way. You know the Lord, but your life has just been so busy. You haven't heard him. And it's been a long time since you've heard those words, son, daughter. Chill out. What are you so frenetic about? I'm here. I've got it under control. I love you. With every head bowed and eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to invite you to pray this prayer from your heart with me today. Lord Jesus, I want to receive you today. I believe that you died on the cross to pay the price for my sin. I admit I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm inviting you to be mine right now. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. Live in me as my Lord from now on. Please help me thrive as your child. You prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you just very quickly, with no one looking around, would you just raise your hand and we're going to pray together and the worship team's going to lead us. Yes, amen. How many others? Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. OT would, and team, would you lead us right now?